What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's your boy Big Zoo, aka Edar Zoomin, and this is the Zoo Yorker. Thank you all for joining me once more here on this beautiful day, April 20th, 2024. Indeed, go out there and celebrate if you participate in such days. And if you don't have any idea as to what I'm speaking on, well, it's a beautiful Saturday, so enjoy it, people. Appreciate y'all being here. Please follow and subscribe on wherever it is that you happen to be hearing my luscious tones right now. Appreciate that, and appreciate a 5-star rating if you guys wouldn't mind doing so. That helps get more eyes on the podcast, helps get a more favorable image to the podcast when people find it online, on iTunes, on Apple, on Spotify, wherever it is that you are listening right now. But I appreciate you all for being here throughout the beginning of this journey. And if you would like to tweet at me about my terrible takes, or you're just bored and you want somebody to talk to, hit me up at ZooBeard77. That, of course, is on the Elon Musk machine, Twitter machine, X machine, whatever it is that you like to call that bad boy. And I am going to be firing that up big time today, because let me tell you something. If you are a New York basketball fan, there is one thing, and one thing that matters to you on this date for 2024, and that is the New York Knicks. That is the 76ers playing their asses off at 6 p.m. at the Garden tonight. And I'm just going to leave it like this. I'll give my projection on the series at the end of this segment, but let me tell you something. Tonight, I need to see the Knicks come out and kick the Sixers' teeth in. Tonight, I need to see the Knicks assert dominance over a team that they are better than. I don't care if Joel Embiid is out there. I don't care what other side pieces that the 76ers have. And listen, I'm a fat guy. I don't have any problems with anybody saying that. But the Sixers and their fans try to act like this is some type of a special unit they got going out there when they have fat Nick Batum playing on the damn court. And I gotta listen to everybody tell me across all forms of media that this Knicks team is essentially trash. And they, oh, hey, we'll give them their credit. They played really, really hard. All right, guys like Draymond Green, y'all played really hard this year too. You got your asses kicked in the play-in and sitting at home. You didn't even get a chance to play for a real seed in the playoffs. You were trying to just get into that 8-9 game. You didn't even get a chance, bro. But you going to talk some trash right now? Nah. It ain't like that. It ain't like that, my friend. And you just sound like an idiot too. Because the thing that everybody starts off their conversation with, and it is the most unbelievably dumb point I've ever heard in my life, it's that the Knicks are an easier matchup than the Celtics. Yeah. Yeah, dummy. What? That's the stupidest thing you could possibly say. The Sixers won over 60 games. The Knicks barely made it to 50. The Knicks are the second best team in the East, though, because nobody else made it to 50. So, I mean, listen, are the Knicks an easier matchup than the Celtics? Yeah. But guess what? The 76ers are an easier matchup than almost everybody in the top four. So I got to sit here and I got to listen to this garbage being spewed across the NBA, who are just trying to get clicks for their team, who know that Knicks fans are going to go crazy for it, just like I am right now. But the reality is, it can all end tonight if they come out and they just stomp them. And I don't mean beat them and pull it out late and have a nice 10-point win and everybody's, you know, going crazy at the Garden. I mean, I want to see the Sixers quit in the first half. I want to see them quit. I want to see Kelly Oubre fighting with people in the first, you know, row. I want to see Kelly Oubre screaming at referees. I want to see Joel Embiid sitting his ass on the bench taking a break because he knows and Nick Nurse knows that their asses are not coming back in that game, so it ain't worth risking injured Joel Embiid going out there and injuring himself even more, which is another thing that, I mean, can we take account of in this series? Joel Embiid ain't no 100%. everybody wants to act like, oh, this is such an easy matchup. Is it? Is it really? Is this easier for Joel Embiid than Kristaps Porzingis? No. That's a genuine answer. No. Because guess what? Embiid can bully Porzingis in the lane. Regardless of if Porzingis gets one or two blocks on him and everybody goes, oh, see, Porzingis got a block. Yeah, well, Joel put 40 on him. He ain't doing that against Mitch. He ain't doing that against Hartenstein. And he ain't doing that against Precious Achiuwa. And the Knicks have three bodies that they can throw at him at any given moment that are going to give him different looks, that are going to give him difficult looks defensively, and they're going to make his ass work. Now, you want to sit here and tell me Joel Embiid is one of the best players in the league right now? I will agree with you. He's a great scorer, good rebounder, you know, carries his team when he's healthy. Joel Embiid is not healthy. You can see that in that playing game. So everybody wants to sit here and talk about how the Knicks are an easy matchup. Well, give me the 76ers all day, baby. Because if Joel Embiid ain't 100%, and there's a chance that if certain games get out of hand, you're not going to see him down the stretch. If there's a chance that certain games, you know, go one way or the other and he overexerts himself in a game two, that he might not be able to give you the same effort in a game three or a game four, or he might take himself out of the entire playoffs at that point. You know, I'm not saying injury-wise, I'm saying in terms of his conditioning-wise. Because if you start to get ahead of yourself too much, you can't catch back up. So, I really don't understand how the Sixers are favored in this series. I don't understand how the public looks at the Sixers as this incredible team. Like, I really don't get it. It's one of the most baffling and puzzling things that I've seen in a long time. I knew the Knicks were going to get disrespected as a two seed, but I didn't think they were going to get spat on. I didn't think they were going to get just completely chucked to the side and viewed as a joke. Because that's what the league is telling you. That's what the league is telling Knicks fans right now. That we're a joke. That we're just a nice little story. Oh, hey, the Knicks are in the playoffs. They made the two seed. They had some injuries and they were able to do it. But you know what? That's really cute. The power of friendship. Look at them with the Villanova friends. Oh, that's so nice. Nah, we ain't nice. We ain't nice. We're actually jerks. And I want to say a different word, but I don't want to curse because it's Saturday and it's early. But let me tell you something. Jalen Brunson ain't a nice dude. Dante DiVincenzo ain't a nice dude. Josh Hart ain't a good dude. He's a good dude, but he's not a nice dude. And neither is OG Anunoby, and neither is anybody else on this roster. And those four dudes specifically have championship pedigree. They are champions. They have a champion's mindset. Now, you want to point out anybody on the 76ers that has that same mindset? Anybody. No, they ain't a soul. So I have to sit here and listen to how cute my team is and how nice it is and have all these people just placating me and just patronizing me as a Knicks fan. That's what's happening. It's just patronization of the Knicks and the Knicks fan. And I, for one, am tired of it. And I know this team is tired of it. And I know a lot of y'all are tired of it, too. So, with that being said, let's dive into the analysis of this series and game one tonight. Now, in this series, it's simple. What the Knicks need is the Knicks need to hit threes and they need to rebound. And it sounds very simple, but it is that simple. And the rebounding side of things, I think they should be okay in that department, being that it looks like Embiid is going to be trying to play more of a perimeter-centric game, a lot more jump shots, staying away from all the congestion of the rim and potentially flopping for his fouls, because if he flops too much, he's going to end his ass up injured. That's what happens when you're 7 foot, whatever he is, 7 foot tall and, you know, close to 300 pounds, which he is. That's going to happen when you just fling your body to the ground. You ain't a little dude. Those falls are going to add up and hurt. So, with Embiid being more of a perimeter guy in this series and them not really having anybody who is, like, good, I'm just going to be honest. Nobody who's really that good rebounding other than him. They have a lot of guys who do their job, but without Embiid, I mean, B-ball Paul, he's going to be out there grabbing boards. He probably will when he is on the court, but he's just not going to be out there a majority of the time as long as Embiid is healthy. So I think the Knicks are able to dominate there. The question mark that I have is the three-point shooting. And you saw Bojan Bogdanović got a procedure done on his wrist. He's expected to give it a go tonight for game one. That scares the crap out of me because anytime a shooter gets work on his wrist, you don't know how he's going to come back immediately. And Bojan is a guy that has had a very turbulent season for this team, to say the very least, since he got traded here from Detroit. But of late, in the last couple of weeks, he's starting to turn it on. You're starting to see his value as a three-point shooter. And if they were to lose that right now going into the playoffs, that's a massive kick in the, you know, lower region, the nether region, so to speak. But I got to be honest, I think the Knicks got enough. I think they got enough shooting. I think they have the right superstar in Brunson. And I know they're going to dominate the rebounding. So I think that if Joel Embiid is compromised, and actually compromised, where you're going to see him not be able to give you 40 minutes a night, and his shots are going to be mostly perimeter shots, and he's not going to be looking for fouls, I got to just be real. I don't see how the Sixers are able to make this a series, period, let alone win it. So if the Knicks can come out tonight and assert their dominance like they should, over a team that is simply trying to get in their heads, and a league that is simply trying to get in their heads, then I think the Knicks win this series in five. And that's my prediction. Because I spoke with JJ yesterday, and we came up with the beautiful idea that we will be taking the Knicks on the money line and the over here in game one. Or the under in game one. Now, I'm willing to change that. Give me the Knicks, -2.5. Instead of that money line, baby, let's go. Let's get this chicken. I'm feeling it with these boys today, and I'm feeling it with them sticking it to the 76ers. This is just going to be one of those games where they come out and they show exactly who they are because they've done it all season long. And I've told you all, believe what your eyes are seeing with this Knicks team, and nobody wants to. Well, guess what? They're about to force you to believe it now. And they're going to shut a lot of people up across the NBA after today. I'm going to tell you that. Believe it. That ain't just a prediction, people. That's a spoiler. And I'm all in on this Knicks team. And you all should be too, because they have shown you nothing. Nothing. But the type of heart that they need to win the series like this and to make a run in this playoff. Let's get this chicken, baby. 6 p.m. at the Garden. Holla at your boy if you're going to be there. Tweet me a couple pictures, maybe, at ZooBeard77 of you and yours over at the game, whoever it is that you're going with. And I just may be in the area, so keep an eye out for me. If you see me, say what's up. But we got a few hours to go until then, boys and girls. And oof. I'm going to just tell you right now, I cannot wait. Cannot wait for 6 p.m., baby. Let's go. About last night. Woo! We had a fun one, people. And I know you guys didn't see all of it. So let's get you all caught up right now. First off, just to quickly sum up the NBA play-in tournament. We had the Pelicans beat up on Sacramento. That was a 105-98. Win for the Pelicans. They now head on to face Oklahoma City, the one seed in the West, and that series begins Sunday. The Heat crushed the Bulls. I mean, this wasn't even a game. They were up by 20 after the first quarter. The Heat move on to face Boston, who everybody is terrified of, and I mean, unfortunately, the Heat didn't get the easy matchup with the Knicks, you know, which was basically like playing a team in the play-in. According to Draymond Green and B-Ball Paul. All right. I'll let it go. I won't be too salty. I won't be too much of a whiner right now. But that really rubbed me the wrong way that B-Ball Paul thinks he's at the place in his career where he can be saying things like that. All right. But anyway, he crushed the Bulls. They're moving on to take on Boston. And back into the localities, let's check out those baseball teams. Because you got the Yankees on John Sterling weekend. It's not just John Sterling Day, which is now today, 4/20, John Sterling Day. Only makes sense. Get yourself over to Yankee Stadium. And if you can't be over there, listen on the radio. My guy will have the call, Emmanuel Barbari, one of my favorite people in this world. Shout out to him. He will be on the call. But John will be joining the broadcast. I'm not sure exactly when today, but keep your ears tuned in on Yankees Radio Network, WFAN, and the Odyssey app. It's free plug there. But if you guys would like to listen, get on there, take a listen to my guys, and pay a little tribute to John, because he's a legend of this city, he's a legend of this business, and he's a legend of the sporting world. So pay your tributes while you can. Not that he is, passing away or anything, but this will be most likely the final time that you are hearing John Sterling's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tones on a Yankees broadcast. So enjoy it and take it all in. This is a generational thing right here. This doesn't happen every day. So it's a beautiful, beautiful day, hopefully for John, hopefully for his family, and wishing the best to John in the next chapter and for what he does going forward. All the love to him and his family. But with that being said, the Yankees kicked off this weekend with a nice little 5-3 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays. The hated Tampa Bay Rays, may I add at that. I got to just tell you right now, Clark Schmidt came out in this game, and he looked like Dookie Shoes half of the time. I mean, he loaded the bases, he was putting guys on, but he worked his ass out of trouble. And that's why I love Clark Schmidt. Even when he doesn't have it cooking, he's able to make the right pitches to get himself out of jam. I like him. I love Clark Schmidt a lot. I think this guy has a big future with this team. Maybe not as like a front-of-the-line starter, but he's one of those dudes that if you slot him into that 4 spot, that 3 spot, that 5 spot in your rotation every year, you're going to get quality to great production. But Clark Schmidt wasn't the story of this game. The story of this game was a young man by the name of Juan Soto, who cranked himself a 3-run bomb. And when I say a bomb, I mean this thing exploded off of his bat. Second decker. I mean, this is the type of thing that when you projected Juan Soto playing in the Bronx, this home run was exactly the image that you projected in your head. So if you haven't gotten a chance, go on the Twitter machine, go on the X machine, follow me first, that's Zubeard77. Then go watch Juan Soto absolutely put a tank job on Tampa Bay. I mean, it's the first of many, and I just got to tell you right now, Juan Soto is the perfect superstar for the New York Yankees franchise to be paired with Aaron Judge. He is the perfect guy. Oh, oh, he's so much fun to watch. But let me tell you something, y'all. Yankees move up to 14-6 now. And, woof, what a big day, emotional day coming up here. They got a chance to win another series, keep themselves moving in the right direction towards that ultimate goal that I keep telling you is their reality, is their future, is their destiny, which is representing the American League in the World Series this season. But enough about the Yankees, because there was one game that I'm almost positive most of you did not watch last night, and that was the New York Mets taking on Yoshinobu Yamamoto and the Dodgers. And the scorned Mets come out on top 9-4. Scoring 4 runs off of Yamamoto, who is not looking as dominant as he was anticipated to be. And I'm sure he's going to be able to bounce back and get himself into a crazy run of form at some point here throwing the ball. But right now, Yamamoto is struggling, and there was nothing better than watching these Mets score off him last night. Now, they did need some late game heroics, because this game was tied up at 4-4 in the 7th inning up until Francisco Lindor went off and hit himself a nice little two-run homer. And then you got a nice two-ribby hit from Marte, in addition to DJ Stewart, who dropped another one in there, giving the Mets a 9-4 lead. DJ Stewart had a home run and three ribbies in this game. Reed Garrett gets himself the win. And I got to tell you something. Reed Garrett, wow. That guy has saved the Mets' ass so many times this season. And I mean, the bullpen has been very good overall, but it's been very good overall because you have a guy like Reed Garrett in it. And if you would have told me some guy named Reed Garrett was going to be the best bullpen pitcher for the Mets outside of Edwin Diaz this season to start, I would have told you, who the hell is Reed Garrett? But the Mets knew who Reed Garrett was, David Stearns knew who Reed Garrett was, and Reed Garrett knows exactly who Reed Garrett is. And what he has done so far this year, nothing short of spectacular. Hats off to my guy getting a win last night. Mets 9-4, getting that series started over in Chavez Ravine the right way with a W. Got to keep that positivity running. 5-game winning streak now for the Mets. And finally, without any further ado, we have ourselves another playoff series starting here tonight. We got Isles, Hurricanes, 5 o'clock from down in Raleigh. This is big time, people. And I know a lot of people, including my buddy JJ, are counting the Islanders out. They don't believe that this team really can make it the full distance of this series with a team like Carolina, who is going for it. And I will keep saying Carolina, they are going for it, because if they're going to make all the trades they made, they deserve to have those expectations. They deserve to be held to that standard. And you know what? I think the Isles are going to take it to them this series. I think the Isles are not only the hottest team in hockey, but they also are playing for a new coach who came in mid-season, who you can tell they are starting to understand. They're starting to fit in with. He's starting to get his system across to these guys, and they're starting to play for him. That's what you need to be successful in the playoffs. And the reality is Patrick Waugh is the coach right now, but this team has been playing together for years. So you don't have to develop chemistry. You don't have to develop all this, that, your sister's ass. He just has to come in and put them in the right spots. And Patrick Waugh is doing a great job of that. And the guys, like I said, are understanding what he's putting down. And although Carolina has had a great year, and they've had a great run, ultimately, I think Carolina does what Carolina does. And that's come up short once again. And this Islanders team is the exact team to do it to them. There is good value if you want to take the Isles tonight or in a series. If you are a betting person, go for it. I think this Isles team is destined for a 6-game series victory over the Canes. I actually think they win tonight. I'm just about ready to throw in a little money line bet on the Isles here for tonight versus the Canes. But I'm going to wait a little bit, see where that line ends up trickling to. Maybe it goes up a little bit, maybe it goes down, and I don't make anything off of it. But you know what? I'm going to wait, I'm going to see, and I'll probably throw a little money on it a little later on in the day. So check over on my Twitter, at Zubeard77. I will be posting my predictions for all the NHL and NBA playoff series later on in the afternoon, or right before the first tip of tip and puck drop of each game, I should say, not later on in the afternoon. It's early, people, it's early. But I do just want to leave this for the Isles. This series is going to be fun. This series is going to be strenuous. But this series is going to pay its dividends to your franchise. Be there, show up, be ready to go. Tonight is a fun one. Tonight is the one where you assert yourself as a team. I love what this team has done. I respect what they've done. And I just got to be honest with you. It would be a disappointment to me if the Islanders don't win this series. And I know that's harsh. I know that might be a little over the top with Carolina, like I said, going for it. But that's the way I see it. Carolina's going for it, but Carolina came up short. They didn't win the division. They didn't win the President's Trophy. they got to be feeling some type of a hangover from putting so much into that at the end of the year and not getting it. Whereas the Islanders put so much into getting into the playoffs that they got the 3 seed in the Metropolitan. And I just got to be honest with you. They're moving at a hot pace. They're the ones that are feeling themselves right now because you know what? They came up and got their goal. They actually succeeded. So I think that, I mean, those are just outside factors that I think the Isles do match up well enough to muck it up and to make these games difficult for Carolina to just fly up and down the ice. I don't think that's going to happen. I think their goaltending is going to keep them in a lot of the games that they aren't able to muck it up as much as they want to. And ultimately, they have the guys who can put the puck in the back of the net enough to win this. So give me the Isles. Give me the Isles in 6, and let me get the Isles for a win tonight in Game 1 down in Raleigh as well. My beautiful people. So just to keep track, I got the Knicks in 5. I got the Isles in 6. And I got the Rangers in, well, you're just going to have to tune back in tomorrow, and we'll talk about it then. I'll give you a prediction on the Rangers series. We will talk about what happened at the Garden with the Knicks and the Sixers. We'll talk about what happened in Raleigh with the Canes and the Isles. And, of course, we'll see what happened with the Mets and Yankees. A little bit of a recap of John Sterling Day at the stadium and a whole lot more. So make sure you hit that subscribe. Make sure you hit that follow wherever it is that you are listening to the podcast right now. Leave us a 5-star review. And as always, people, tune in tomorrow. We shall talk to you then. All the love. Enjoy your Saturday. Enjoy a beautiful sports Saturday. I shall talk to you guys mañana. But for now, I bid you adieu. Peace.